Different story maybe than you'd think of at Christmas time. Here, this story of Jesus as a young boy. But we see some incredible truths about really the heart of Christmas here in Luke 2, right after the narratives that we often focus on about Jesus' birth and the angels and the shepherds. We see here this snapshot that Luke, the gospel writer, gives us of Jesus growing up as a 12-year-old about this time, probably. And it's the only place where we have that. Seeing him growing up into manhood, seeing really from there, from this age of 12, we go ahead to when he starts his ministry at 30. But here what we see is what it meant for him to become a human being. This is what Christmas is all about. For those of you that are not aware of that, we celebrate Jesus Christ. We celebrate the birth of the Savior, who is Jesus, who is fully God, who's always existed, the Bible tells us, as God, the second person of the Trinity. But at Christmas time, he became a baby. He was born in a manger. He came in this world in what we call the incarnation. He came and became a servant. He came and took on human flesh. And we see that Jesus did this. Jesus, who is God, came into the world for three reasons as we start to look at this passage. Number one, so we can fully understand God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen God the Father. He came so that we would know who God is. God in human flesh as a person. Number two, we see God he came to really understand us as a human. To be merciful towards us in the ultimate way. To become a human, to go through what we go through. Though Jesus never sinned, the Bible is clear, he went through to be sympathetic towards us. And to go through the human experience so that he can minister to us, so that he can help us. We're going to look at that today. And number three, so ultimately that him as God and man together can live out a perfect life as a human. Being obedient as a human to God without any sin, so that then he could go and die on the cross to pay for all of our sin. To pay for the wrath of God against us for our sin and to save us. And then to rise over death, what we celebrate at Easter, to be our perfect Savior, our ultimate and final Savior. So this is what Christmas really altogether is about, that he came in this world for this purpose, in the incarnation. He was born as a baby. He grew up as a human. And we see in this story in Luke 2, before Jesus begins his ministry, after we see that he was born into the world as to be the Savior, we see a little snapshot of what is happening to him. Though he is fully God, and he never stopped being God, divine, he did come and lay down his rights for a time. And we see what it meant for him to be a person, to grow up as a little boy, to go through the phases of life, to be a human, and to do that. And it helps us, because ultimately we know that Jesus came to live a perfect life, to go to the cross, to die for sin and rise, that we might rely on him alone and receive that gift of salvation. But also, as we then trust in him, we look to him for help. We learn from him. He is our wisdom. We grow in the passion that he has put in us for God as he continues to help us grow. So we learn some truths as we look here in Luke 2 that help us. Number one, in verse 40 there, just really honing in some of these key verses in Luke 2, we need to look to Jesus for help in every stage of life. Because he understands us. Because he is God, but became a human and went through all the human experience, he has compassion towards us. He never gave in to sin and doing sin, but he felt the pressures of temptation and pain. And so he understands us in verse 40. We see the picture of that. The child, Jesus, there grew and became strong in spirit. This means even though he's fully God, he never stopped being that. He had to lay down those rights for a time. And as a human, we see him growing up as a boy, growing as a human, becoming stronger. Someone said Luke summarizes Jesus' childhood in Galilee by compressing the first 12 years of his life into a single verse. Verse 52, we saw later, says Jesus, the boy, though he's God, he's a human, he increased in wisdom, increased in stature. These verses tell us clearly the physical, intellectual, spiritual, and relational development of the Son of God, Jesus, as a person. as a human being. That's what Christmas is about. The Bible tells us Jesus was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4. He had the same needs, drives as a human, without sin. The same desires and problems and pressures that people go through in this world. He understands us. Jesus felt personal pressure. He was fatigued as a human. He felt emotional problems and disappointment, though he never sinned in it. He felt people pressure. He was misunderstood by people, rejected. He felt the loss of a friend like Lazarus who died. He felt grief. Christ understands what it's like to go through all of this. He experienced it, Luke tells us, even as a young boy. And he knew later, he knew what it was to be hurt, to be tired, to be weary. Someone said, we know that when God the Son became a human, he took on a human physical body. And Luke tells us Jesus had to go through this. We see a picture here as a young boy. He had to go through it, and he had to grow through every stage. As an infant, he was a little baby. Then grew as a toddler, and then he is a teenage boy, and then he was a young man, and then he was a man. The baby Jesus in the manger, remember, is a real baby that was born with all the physical needs of a little baby. He woke up in the middle of the night, and even though the carol says crying he did not make, no, he did make crying. No, he didn't sin, but he was a real baby. He had to be birthed and nursed and changed. As an adult, he would suffer the temptations and trials of the physical existence, but he never gave in any way to disobedience and sin. He was tired and hungry. He had to eat and sleep. And that's why later in Luke 4, for example, he was tempted in the desert, remember, by the devil to turn the stones to bread. But he did that as a human, fasting, facing almost starvation and hunger. And he had to go through that. And then later, when Jesus, of course, would go to the cross, when what he came to do, yes, he's fully God, but he did it as a human. He died as God and a human together. He gave his life, real human life, on the cross, flesh and blood. But here, Luke is really honing us in on what happened in between, as best we know here, what we do know, from when he was born and when he started his ministry and he went to the cross as he grew in wisdom and stature. This snapshot of Jesus' childhood, how he grew as a man. He grew as a young man. The child grew and became strong in spirit. And the point, I believe, for one of giving us this picture of his childhood is to help us to understand that he knows what we go through, that we should go to him for help, that we find compassion in him when we turn to him, if we believe in him. We see what he had to go through. Here we see Jesus as a human, what he went through to accomplish this, from the cradle to being a teen to being about 12 here probably, about a year from what the Jews consider entry point then into manhood. Luke wants us to see how Jesus the human in flesh and blood had to grow physically, first of all, from stage to stage. You know what the old saying is, right? You got to crawl before you walk. And that was true with Jesus. True physically as a baby, but metaphorically too, right? He had to crawl like a baby before he walked like a toddler. He had to learn. He had to grow into becoming a human and live out a perfect human life. That's the only way, as God and man, that he could be the perfect sacrifice to pay for our sin. But also that now, with him having died, lived and died and risen, he's our perfect priest. He's the one we can turn to God, and he knows, we know he has compassion on us. God understands us. God loves us in that ultimate way. It's incredible that it shows the depths of his love and his understanding for one. There's no stage of development Jesus doesn't understand that we can't call out to him about and look to him, because he faced it all and he overcame it. He went through all the ordinary stages of development. He can relate to you as a child, if you're a little child here today, or a teenager, or whatever you are going through as an adult. And he knows it in a way and understands it that we don't, because he never gave into sin. I mean, if you're in a weight room and weights are weighed down on you, who's the one who knows the weight better? The one who lets it go quickly and has a spotter come? Or the one who the weight, you know, immediately, or they hold the weight up? Well, that person does, right? And he understands it because he never gave in to it. He empathizes with what we go through now, even though he's in heaven. He feels what you feel and what you face, and he gives you help to continue to grow in him. First of all, to save you, but then that you'll know his compassion, his love, and you'll grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You know, that I've heard this said before, I've really never tried it, but I like the illustration. If you got two pianos in tune in the same room and a note is struck on one, the same note will respond gently on the other when you play it on the one. It's called sympathetic resonance. Christ's instrument, one man said, was like ours in every way as a human without sin. And then he lived perfectly, he died and he rose. And now he has that human part of him with him for all eternity. So when there are things that are struck on the chord of our life, right, the note of our life, it's struck with him. It resonates with Jesus. And he has sympathizes with us. Hebrews 4 reminds us we don't have a high priest, meaning the one that brings us to God. That's who Jesus is. We don't have one who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who was tempted in every way as we are, yet he was without sin. Now I know you might say, Jesus, well, he's not a woman. Does he understand the things that women go through? Well, no, he doesn't know that, but the general human experience, he understands it in a way that we don't, because he never gave in to sin. He doesn't understand the temptations that flow out of people who already have sinned. That's you and I. No, he doesn't know that because he never sinned. But he went through the gamut of trials and temptation, never giving into it, of struggles, of grief and pain, so that he can be our ultimate high priest. You see, because of what he went through, he is forever empathetic and in tune with our needs. Jesus is deeply compassionate towards us, to the point of wanting to help us, being ready to help us in our need. That's at the heart of what Christmas and the Incarnation is all about. Jesus Christ's compassion is not a simulated compassion. We can't ever say God is far off and he doesn't understand what we humans go through, because it's not true. So God's not going to scorn you or think, why is she going through that? Or how could he possibly, what could that be about? I can't understand that. How could they go through those trials and not be able to figure it out? That's not God. That's not Jesus. He'll never say, oh, what, you're going through depression? You know, just get over it. That's not our God. That's Jesus understands. John Stott said the incarnation was a historical, unrepeatable event with permanent consequences. Reigning at God's right hand is Jesus, who is God and man, and he always will be. Even though he's in heaven now with victory over sin, he's been born, lived, died, risen, ascended. He always has that humanness with him. He overcame sin, but he's always God and man together, having felt what it is to be a human. He's able to help us. I always like the story of the little boy. He was calling up to his dad at nighttime. He didn't want to go to sleep. He was afraid of the dark, this little boy. And said, Dad, please come up here. Read me a story. Be with me. One more story. And Dad said, well, just no. You got to go to bed. Just get some water. Get your teddy bear, you know. And the little boy yelled back down the stairs. He said, no, Dad, I want you to come. I want someone with some skin on it. Skin on him. Now, God, in the ultimate way in Jesus, came to put his love in human skin in Jesus, in a real person who understands us. There were times Jesus was lonely, fatigued, under pressure, and he gets that. Steve Brown said, Christ entered time and space, walked the dirty roads. This is the Creator God. Walked the dirty roads of this world and then came to live in our place to understand us, to show us God, and then to die for our sin. But to know what it is to go through firsthand living in this world. It's like that old show, remember years ago? I don't even know if it's on now. Undercover Boss, you know, where the CEO goes undercover to see what the employees have to go through, and finally they figure out that that's the boss. Well, that's just a little tiny, tiny, tiny picture of what the God of the universe did to come in this world, just on that angle, to understand us, to love us, to save us. Jesus entered time and space to know what it is to be lonely and afraid, as well as to go to the cross for our sin. And now he knows what it feels like for eternity. He is now a gentle minister towards us. He is the bridge between us and God, the only way to God, but he is a merciful priest, a merciful and faithful high priest, able to help us and give us what we need as we turn to him. Folks, no matter what we go through, we can turn to him. We all feel like at times giving in to things in the world, don't we? And we do give in. Jesus never did. And we might want to give up. Jesus felt all of that. The temptation to give in. The temptation to give up. But he never did. And he's overcome, and now we can turn to him, and he has empathy towards us to help us. Number two thing here. Number one is we look to him, right, for help. Number two, we learn God's wisdom and God's will in Jesus. It says in Luke, he was filled with wisdom. Now, and grew in stature and wisdom. Now, understand this. Jesus is fully God. He never stopped being God. But there was a time again when he came in this world. He was born. He took the form of a servant, Philippians 2 said. What we read. And he humbled himself to be a human and to go through all the things that a human has to go through. Though he never stopped being God, he was God and man together. And he laid down those rights for a time. So this is, as a boy, Luke is emphasizing Jesus grew physically, yes. He understands our pain and problems, but he also grew intellectually. He grew in wisdom. He grew in understanding perfectly and living out perfectly as a human, remember, the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, Christ has become for us wisdom. So he understands. Like someone said, when Jesus was two, he wasn't able to perform the complex computations of differential calculus. I mean, I never could very well, right? You know, when he was six, he didn't know the percentage as a human of hydrogen in Jupiter's atmosphere. Now look, I know as God, he knows everything. But Luke is emphasizing, this is in the incarnation, to understand us, to live out as a human what we couldn't do, to trust God the Father. As Hebrews says, he learned obedience as a human son. He had to grow and go through those phases and have the normal capacities of a human boy and learn all those things to know what we go through and to be the perfect God and man together, one that does what we can't do and then dies on the cross for us, but also the one that helps us to know as we look to him, the wisdom of God. We trust in him. We rely upon him. So someone said he submitted to the very laws he created as a human. He was taught the things that a human, he didn't know at that time. The boy Jesus here learned and remembered and grew in wisdom as a human being. Yes, with respect to his divine nature as God always, he always knows everything, yes. But remember, he had to lay those things aside for a time, though still as God, to be a human and to go through all of that for us and to do what we could never do. This was the ground rules of his mission that he had to though he always is God, he laid down his rights and gave, and those who he is as God was under the discretion of his Father's will as he came as a human being into this world. I know there's times we think about in the gospel accounts where Jesus, you know, seems to know what somebody is thinking and all of that, and as he depended on the Spirit and him being the Son of God, he knew those things. But as a whole, we know he had to become a human. He had to grow in wisdom as a human being. Philippians 2 says, Jesus, being in the form of God, didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself of no reputation. This is what he did when he came in the world. Though he always existed as God, he came in the world at Christmas. He was born. He came as a servant. He came to, for a time, lay those rights down to show us God's love and to carry out what we could never do, that we can look to Him as our wisdom, grow in Him. As we now know, He has lived that out. He's died. He's risen. And we turn to Him now. And He gives us help, but He also helps us grow in wisdom. He affects our minds, our thinking, our head. As we turn to Him, He as a human, as someone said, the Father revealed as much as the Son needed to know, but as a man, Jesus, the human Son of God, knew and grew in things the old-fashioned way. He learned them. He grew. Luke says He increased in wisdom and stature with God. And no, this doesn't mean in any way, I hope you know, that He started out with sin in any way, because He never sinned. But no, as a human being without sin, He had to learn what it is to go through the normal things of life and learn and grow and listen and observe like a person has to do. That He would then, as a human being, trusting God the Father, as Hebrews tells us this, He had to learn obedience as a human son. He would learn and apply the wisdom of God and live out God's will as a human perfectly and faithfully. And we just see the beginning of that, so to speak, with Him as a boy, where He grows, begins to do that in Luke chapter 2 here. But He had to do that to grow and live that out perfectly, so that He could, of course, then die on the cross as the perfect sacrifice, rise from the grave. And then when a person trusts in Him, He lives in them through the Spirit, and He gives us that wisdom. He helps us to know His love and His wisdom, and we turn to Him and we grow in Him. And that's why He came in this world. Now, John MacArthur, he said, merely experiencing something like sin doesn't give us the best understanding of it. We might think that in a way. Well, you know, I know what sin is. You know, I know the way I've lived. I know what sin is. Yeah, we could all say that, couldn't we, right? In some ways, we know what sin is. We've experienced it greatly, but not in the way Jesus did, because He never gave in. And remember, He did that as a human. And He did it for you. He did it for those and me, those who trust in Him. Again, you know, that bridge knows the weight of it if it never gives in to the pressure. The bridge that caves in doesn't really know the full pressure of the weight of all those cars. Jesus never gave in. He understands it in a way that we never will, and He overcame it. He trusted God as a human, growing in perfect faithfulness and wisdom to do what we could never do, and then die on the cross as our sacrifice and be our Savior, who now, as Hebrews says, He's the author of our faith. He's already paved the way. See, this Christmas, He's calling on you to turn to Him. Trust Him if you're already a believer, but turn to Him if you have not looked to this Savior. That's why He was born in this world. That's why He came, to be the one who could do what you and I could never do, and the one who has done that, and the one that we look to and trust in now as we walk through this world. Then the final thing we see here as we close is listen to God's voice. Above all else, listen to the heart of the narrative here in Luke 2 that we read there. As Jesus grew physically, He grew mentally and wisdom, but He also grew relationally as a human. You see that picture here, don't you? Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and, see that, 52, and favor with God. So I know you're saying, well, Jesus is God, right? He has always been in perfect relationship with God. There's never a time that He wasn't. He is God. But as a human, He grew physically and also in wisdom, but He had to grow in relationship and a love and a passion as a human for His Father. And that's the picture that we see here in Luke 2 of what these parents do. The Jews would go up once a year at the Feast of Passover, and Luke tells them they went up according to that custom, Jesus' earthly parents and Him. And again, He's about 12 here, and probably about a year before He becomes a man in Jewish terms, and probably Joseph was taking Him up to learn about the rituals and the things of becoming a Jewish man. At this age, it had to have been a time of excitement for Jesus. The streets are crowded, people coming in with their sacrifices, thousands and thousands of people. Certainly as a normal boy, right, it would have been normal for him to go off with his friends and everything. You can kind of see what happened here. And plus, in that time, they traveled in these big caravans, groups of people, right? And often the women would be up in the front, and the men would be in the back to give protection. And in the middle, and with the little kids, and in the middle would be some of the older kids kind of within that unit running around. And so you can see, right, how even over a day, Mary and Joseph lost track of Jesus. And they probably came back together and said, "Well, have you seen him? Have you seen Jesus? Where is he?" And they start to panic and they go back to Jerusalem, that day's travel. And here's the thing that I want you to see as we close in a moment. As much as we can relate, can't we, to what these parents must have felt when their little 12-year-old isn't anywhere to be found. Luke focuses our attention not on the drama of losing a child, but on what this child, Jesus, is doing. Where he's gone, who he's focused on. They go back to Jerusalem and they see him where they should have looked perhaps to start with, but they're not thinking there, of course. Now it was that after these days, 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them, asking them questions, and all who heard him, Jesus, were astonished. Remember, this is a 12-year-old boy. They are astonished at his understanding and his answers. I think what they see most of all, as much as he has great insight, is that people have wrongly, I think, looked at this text and think, well, there's Jesus, you know, as the Son of God. He's testing them already at 12, you know, testing the leaders. He does that later. I don't think that's what Jesus is doing here. He's a 12-year-old boy. He is growing as a human, and he already has a sense, doesn't he, of why he's here, why he's come. To live a perfect life. He to live this out, to go to the cross. And he is. They are amazed, not only at what he knows, incredible insight this boy Jesus has, but they're amazed at not just what he knows, but who he knows. So deeply, so passionately. As he tells his parent, and he's not being a smart aleck here, he says, "Didn't you know? I had to be here. I had to be about my Father's business. That's why I came. I've got to." This, you know, this is the thing. When we think about this, as we've said in this whole message here, we look to Jesus because he is our compassion, our help. He understands us. We trust him most of all, right? We receive his love. Have you received his love? He came in love to go to the cross in the ultimate way, and then to die for you, that you might trust him. But then if you have trusted him, rely on his love. Because we've seen, we've got to look to him, right, for help, to grow, to find sympathy. We've got to learn from Jesus, who is our wisdom. This involves his help and our heads, but also God wants our hearts. We've got to listen to Jesus as now he wants to work in us. And if you're a Christian, he lives in you through his Spirit, that you'll grow in a love and a passion for God. Because remember, Jesus, who is God, came as a human to grow in that perfect wisdom, to live out a perfect life, to die on the cross, but also to now lead us all the way home. And to, as he lives in us, give us a passion for God. His own love lives in us. He came in love to save us. He came in love that we'll know God and that we'll grow in a passion. He, as a human, did that. He grew up as a boy and as a man, as a human, growing in a perfect passion and love for the will of the Father and for his Father God. Have you looked to him today? Maybe you've not heard of this part of Christmas before, but this is the heart of Christmas. It's why Jesus came. He came in this world to show us who God is. He came in this world to understand us. And he came in this world to live perfectly as God and man, to die and rise, and then that we'll look to him in faith. And then he came to lead us all the way home. He doesn't just say, "Well, hey, believe in me and everything's fine and I'll see you in heaven one day." He will if you're a believer. If you truly trust in Christ alone, He comes as the author and pioneer of our faith. He comes to lead us step by step all the way home. Have you looked to this Savior who alone can give you salvation and purpose and who wants to lead you and work in your life now? Let's turn to Him now with a word of prayer as we close. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your amazing love towards us. Thank You for the incarnation, that God, who is Jesus, fully God, became a man, became a human, was born as a baby, knew all the things we go through, grew up as a little boy, went through those trials, went through the trials later on of heartache and pain, was tempted in every way as we are, yet this one Jesus, this child who grew up, He never gave in to sin. He trusted You perfectly as a human to do what we could never do. Our salvation is, and being a Christian is not about us trying to be a better person in our own strength. Certainly we grow and we do grow in love and obedience, but it's about relying on the One who did what we could never do. And when we look to Your Word, we see that our anchor holds. Our hope is in this One, our Savior. And I pray if there's anyone here today that's not turned from their self, from their own trying to be good enough to believe in this Savior, they'll receive Him today. In Jesus' name, amen.